You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans, and thank you for listening and watching to the DolphinsTalk.com post-game wrap-up show. I am your host, Tom Ernesty. With me, as always, Mike Oliva. Mike, how you doing tonight?
Tom, I am doing fantastic. It was a beautiful win for the Miami Dolphins here. I know the wins don't really matter, but just outside of really some nitpicky type things, just a picture-perfect performance, especially in the first half of this game. And, you know, there's not a lot to complain about here with the Miami Dolphins. But before we start into that, Tom, a couple things. First off, big shout-out to everyone watching and listening over at finhaven.com, finhaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, everyone watching live right now on the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group, as this show is brought to you by BetUS tonight. And Tom, do you got your limited edition Bud Light yet for those watching? Everyone, this Monday, August the 23rd, in Miami area retailers, Bud Light limited edition Miami Dolphins bottles. I think Tom's frozen up on me. Oh, he's back. Limited edition bottles, Miami Dolphins, while supplies last. For those of you in Miami, get them. Bud Light, three different labels on the bottle. The official sponsor, the official beer sponsor of the NFL, Bud Light. So big shout out to everyone at Bud Light who sent me some samples, and I will be using those throughout the season, but hopefully drinking celebratory beers and not ones that make you sad.
Yes, always celebrate. And tonight is
a celebratory beer.
This is a celebratory beer kind of night. Only one, though. This is the preseason.
Yes,
we don't want to over-celebrate this. But this
it's late, too, on East Coast. I'm not even going to drink this.
Yeah, this was a great showing tonight by the Miami Dolphins all around. The team looked good tonight. Tua was fantastic. We're going to get into all that here on the show. And, Mike, as you mentioned, yes, this is a show brought to you by BetUS. They are one of our new sponsors. We're happy to have them aboard. Mike, we got a lot of exciting things to talk about here in this game. With the Miami Dolphins defeating the Atlanta Falcons, just a tremendous showing by the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, it all begins up front with the offensive line. I thought they played really well tonight.
Compared to last week, it was night and day. They played much, much better. And the one change that I know everyone's going to be talking about is Solomon Kinley appears to be the new starting left guard, and Liam Eichenberg has been sent to the bench and is the second string left tackle or right tackle. Now, once again, it's August 21st. September 12th is a long ways away. Could Liam Eichenberg replace Jesse Davis by week one at right tackle? He could. He could. It's possible. I think we're going to see a lot of Liam Eichenberg next week against Cincinnati, and the Miami Dolphins are going to give Liam Eichenberg every chance to win the right tackle job. My concern with that is if you're going to go into a season with Liam Eichenberg year one, Robert Hunt year two, Michael Deer year three with not a lot of experience for a year three guy, Austin Jackson and Solomon Kinley both year two, that's a young offensive line behind a young quarterback. Now, it's not saying it can't work. I'm just saying Jesse Davis, you know, he is what he is, but he's a veteran. He's been around like a bit. To have him start the first three, four, five games might not be the worst thing in the world. Okay, sort of ease in Eichenberg. But if Eichenberg is the better player, well, then you got to play him too, because this is, you know, it's about if you perform, you play. But overall tonight, the offensive line was great. I'm just going to say it off the – I'll say it off the top. There's really no negatives in this game. There's one. And I'll just say it now so we can just have a happy, happy, joy show the rest of the show. That's the running backs have to do a better job blocking, because Salvin Ahmed and Malcolm Brown are going to get Tua killed back there. So they both missed blocks today. That was very bad. That's the only negative, though. And I just mentioned it, so we're not going to mention anything else probably negative the rest of the show.
No, you know.
Tom, you're breaking up terrible tonight on this.
And those are the that you're probably really talking about. You know, spectrum. I think part of the problem is the it's just, you know, it's time. It's the preseason. They're not getting that many live reps against real scheme and competition. Malcolm Brown was late getting over protecting Tua on that. I believe it was like a first or second down play in the first quarter where he was just late to the block and he just couldn't hold the block. Tua did a great job trying to escape, but you know, once that happens, it was game over for Tua in that particular play, and he had to eat it where he was trying to make a play. But I mean, overall, again, nothing to shake a stick at. This is a very good showing for the Miami Dolphins from top to bottom, and you know, again, it always starts and finish with the quarterback play, and it was a very good showing tonight from Tua.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I mean, he was absolutely flawless, didn't make any mistakes. I thought he played an outstanding game. If you're a fan of the Dolphins, this is the quarterback we all hope to see coming out of Alabama. This is the quarterback we all want to see coming out of Alabama. And he looks, once again, it's the preseason. I get it. Atlanta did sit a lot of their guys tonight too. So you take everything with a grain of salt. But I'd rather have him look great against their second string or some of their guys who, you know, are second string. I'd rather have them look great than look bad. Because now, I mean, really, as we head into the final preseason game next week, when you look at how he's performed all through training camp with only a handful of interceptions, I think six total is the number. And then, you know, last week's game against the Bears, which he was great except for one pass, and this game, you know, there is just – there's nothing to knock on this kid right now. It looks like he's taking a step. Now, we won't know for sure till September 12th in Foxborough, because none of this stuff matters till then. If he goes out there and plays terribly, I mean, nobody's going to remember this game or care. But on paper, this is what you want to see. And right now, everything is just fantastic with the young quarterback. I will say this too. The big topic amongst the media in every media session for the past few weeks has been who's calling the plays on offense for the Dolphins. Now, tonight, I think we have that answer, because you don't need to be Scooby-Doo to solve this. When the Miami Dolphins had their first offensive drive, you see George Godsey sitting up in the booth, and Eric Studsville is on the sideline with his microphone up at the top of his head, and he's not talking. So the fact he's not even talking will let you know that George Gotsi's calling the plays, because Eric wasn't even on mic. I mean, if you're not on mic, you're not calling plays. So once again, I don't know for sure, but it just seems like that's the case.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be the case. Obviously, we may see something completely different next week. You know, we may see Eric Studsville in the booth and Charles Gotsi on the sideline. But, you know, Gotsi has the experience.
He's going to be in the booth every week, I think they said, too.
I think that could be the possibility. But, you know, it's good that there's good communication between the two, because the offense was very fluid in this game.
Offense was perfect. I mean, the offense was outside of – missed blocks by the running back. The offense was absolutely perfect. They ran the ball well. The receivers, even with no Parker, even with no Will Fuller, no Wilson, no Preston Williams, they were fantastic. Waddle, yep. The first quarter or so, that kid is tougher than a woodpecker's lips. That kid is just so tough. He is so tough. That made you laugh. He is so tough. He took a hit. I thought – and this is just my opinion — he was hit down there, and that's what it was. Maybe he was hitting the leg, knee, I don't know. But he got back in the game, which I don't know if that's wise, but, man, he just keeps coming back. God bless him.
Yeah, he played very well. And you know, the best thing that you see out of Jalen Waddle is his toughness.
Yeah, he's so tough.
He's so tough, and the fact that you know, we go back and look at his national championship coming back from that ankle surgery that he had like a month and a half prior to that game. And he showed up and he played in that national title game come hell or high water. He didn't want to leave the game tonight. He went to the sideline, went down. It looked like a Charlie horse, but you could be right. He could have been, he could have taken a shot where
he was hit in the Manscaped region. Which everyone, you should go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code Dolphins Talk, save 20% on your order. Thank you for free shipping. I think that's where he was hit.
I lofted that one in for you.
I put out a tweet exactly when the play happened, so people are all over it.
There it is. All right, so let's get going here. We're going to talk about the game here. Not going to get crazy, obviously, again, preseason, but, you know, the Falcons had a 7-play, 28-yard drive to open the game after a opening kickoff that took them close to the 35-yard line to start. And the Dolphins were able to hold out for a 53-yard field goal from Koo, which made it 3-0. And the Dolphins' first opening drive, an 11-play, 75-yard drive that took 6 minutes and 29 seconds off the clock. And if you want to talk about methodical and a very, very good drive from Tua, this was a very good start for this team. After last week with the Bears going 3-and-out in their opening drive, Tua hit Jalen Waddle for 4 yards. Tua hit Myles Gaskin for 19 on the very next play. From the 48-yard line, Gaskin for 2. Tua to Jalen Waddle for 10. And Tua this season. Waddle on a little shovel pass for 7 yards to the Atlanta 33. And then Gaskin gets a first down. Gaskin goes for Tua goes – Tua was sacked on that play. That was the Malcolm Brown sack that we talked about. Myles Gaskin went for a 16-yard scamper after the Dolphins picked up a 3rd-and-9 on the 12-yard pass from Tua to Gaskin. Gaskin gets to the 1. That was the play that Jalen Waddle was hurt. And then a touchdown run for Myles Gaskin. 7-3 Dolphins. Again, very methodical drive from Tua and the offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big thing here was, number one, when they got down to the 1-yard line, all fans of Dolphins were like, oh, no, here we go again. But, this week, no issues. They got in the end zone, one play, easy peasy. That was fantastic. And just overall, I think Waddle, we saw how he was used on that sort of run play and how he was using the passing game. He's going to be a weapon. And I can't wait to see him on the field once we get back Will Fuller and Parker. I think it's going to be a matchup nightmare for most teams. He really will be a matchup nightmare. And I just think, too, for the quarterback, once he gets back those guys, as someone who is in our chat is saying, oh, my, is right. I mean, this offense has the potential to be explosive as long as the offensive line and the running backs can keep our quarterback upright and clean. So it really – this we have skill positions on top of skill positions. I don't know. And we can talk about this after we get through the game, you know, how they're going to make some of these roster cuts at wide receiver. Because, yes, a lot of guys are hurt, or maybe not hurt, just out right now. But they have so many talented guys. It's going to be something to see.
Yep. And the I think, like you said, and the Angel here in the chat also said it as well, as, you know, this is the offense, what it looks like with Tua running it without his top three guys in there. Yeah. You know, his top guy out there is Jalen Waddle, which for obvious reasons is a top guy, but no Parker, no Fuller, and no Albert Wilson. What is this offense going to look like when those guys are back? And we're going to find out week one. As long as everybody's healthy and everyone's ready to go, this offense could look very explosive. So the Falcons go 3-and-out on their next drive. Then the Dolphins take a 11-play, 66-yard drive that took 6 minutes and 30 seconds off the clock. Again, another tremendous drive from Tua Tagovailoa directing the offense down the field. This drive pretty much ended the first quarter into the second quarter as the Dolphins control the clock for the most part. And, you know, once we get into the second quarter, that touchdown was Myles Gaskin, 8-yard pass. Tua was very patient on that drive. It looked like he went through two or three reads before Gaskin was open over the middle, and he walked right into the end zone for that touchdown. Mike, we can't say enough about Tua on this drive overall. That catch by Mac Hollins, what concentration.
Mac Hollins is going to make this team.
I wrote Mac Hollins off as a special teams guy. This guy, the Dolphins are going to have to carry seven wide receivers. Let's be real.
I think so as well. They have to do it. Yeah, and I think we should go through, once we get through the game, the roster and just sort of make some early picks on who the 53 are, because I think he's going to make it. The thing on this drive was Tua Tagovailoa's footwork once again. When the pocket starts to crumble around him, how he navigates the pocket, moves up in the pocket, can avoid pressure. He had to scramble where he picked up, I think, 8 yards or so. Now, he didn't slide, which he probably should slide, whatever. I'm sure he's going to be told, slide. Don't take the hits when you don't have to. Right. But how he manipulates his way around the pocket to give himself just an extra second or two, which is all you need in the NFL, just one extra second, one half step to make a play, really showed on this drive. You know, the kid looks so much better than last year. And I know it's a preseason. Yeah. I know these teams aren't scheming, but the fact he's looking outstanding in this portion of August in the preseason is what you want. Now, I know things will get tougher in September, October, but I'd rather have him look great now. So just a fantastic drive here for Tua to give Miami another touchdown.
I was excited. I'm excited to see the all 22 so I can see the footwork in more slow motion and see how well he is actually moving and sliding around in that pocket, because obviously in real time it looks great. I want to see what it looks like in more of a slow motion. I think he's really come a long way from, like you said, from where he was last year to where he is now. He's not worried about the hip. He's healthy. He's a smart football player. We see that, you know, in these first two games, you know, other than the interception, which all week long, all we heard about was Tua throws an interception. Oh my God, Jacoby.
It was round the clock coverage on ESPN.
Oh my God.
Wall to wall.
And it was his third read and he was late. But you know what we saw tonight from him, he was on point. He knew where he wanted to go with the football. He was going through his reads and progressions, and he was making smart football throws. And that's what this team needs to succeed. And we can see that in the numbers for tonight for Tua. But getting back to the game, the Falcons had a 14-play, 79-yard drive that took just over 6 minutes that stalled out at the Dolphins' 2-yard line as Felipe Franks' throw was incomplete. Terrain with Eric Rowan coverage with a pass breakup, which is a common thing we've been hearing from Eric Rowe over the last year or so, is that he's been, other than the two times that he went against a future Hall of Famer as well as Darren Waller, who was a top three tight end, where he struggled a little bit, those guys can't, you know, they're on a league of their own. But Eric Rowe with a big play there to stop any momentum the Falcons was getting.
Yeah, Rowe, that was a hell of a play there at the goal line. He's been fantastic. Now, tonight there is no Javon Holland, so is what it is. Once again, don't need to risk anybody in the game like this. So I think Rowe and Holland, I think when all said and done, will be your starting safeties come week one. And Rowe is just, you know, ever since he came to Miami, he's been fantastic. And let's hope he can stay healthy and build off what he did last year.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Dolphins took over from their 2-yard line, and the drive went 11 plays, 83 yards, that ended in 3 minutes and 58 seconds. And on this drive, you know, from the 2-yard line, this is a drive that, in my opinion, should have gone the distance. Just the way the drive was moving, and how on point Tua was. But on the fourth down play, I don't know if it was dropped by Malcolm Perry. It was just a good play by the defender. But the drive stalled out. But when we look back on this drive and you see what happened here, you know, on 3rd and 10, Tua hit Mac Hollins for 13 yards. Again, another good job going through his progressions. Mac Hollins looks like it was his second, third read. Found him late as the pocket was collapsing. Picked up the first down. And then on the very next play, I don't want to hear from anybody that Tua does not have a strong arm. That was an absolute laser to Hollins. And then on the very next play to Mike Gesicki for 30 yards right up the seam. And it looked like that was the same kind of design play they ran against Chicago where he threw the interception. That seam play was there. He threw it. Gesicki with the catch, 30-yard reception there. Unfortunately, that's where the drive stalled out on 4th and 3, where it went incomplete. And then the Dolphins forced a punt and then missed a field goal, a 56-yarder. Jason Sanders should get cut for missing a 56-yard field goal, by the way. Everyone, I'm kidding, obviously.
You're going to get the hate tweet.
Look, he missed that kick. But did you see where the ball hit in that net?
I know.
That was like halfway up the goalpost.
I know.
So that guy, that kid's got a freaking leg, and I'm glad that he's here long term. But at halftime, the Dolphins up 14-3, and Mike, it's halftime, and you know what that means.
Oh, it is halftime. You know what that means. That means it's that time in the show. Fantasy football draft season is upon us. It's time you put the PP back in PPR league with the sponsors of today's show, Manscaped, the leaders in blow the waist grooming. Just launched the new performance package 4.0. Don't neglect your balls like the Packers front office have been neglecting Aaron Rodgers. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for kickoff by going to manscaped.com using the promo code DolphinsTalk to save 20% off your order and get free shipping. They will help tame the Troy Polamalu in your pants. If you groom below the waist, the performance package 4.0 is an essential purchase. And good news to all of our international listeners. That's right, our international listeners. Manscaped now ships to Canada, the UK, across Europe, Australia, South Africa, and Tom, get this, Singapore. If you're a Miami Dolphins fan watching this show right now in Singapore, go to manscaped.com, use a promo code DolphinsTalk. They will give you free shipping to Singapore. So everyone go to Manscaped for the best and below the waist grooming. I'm sure tonight Jalen Waddle will be rubbing down and making sure using some some Manscaped. He'll be using the Crop Reviver and all that stuff because it looks like he took a blow below the waist. And I'm sure he's gonna wake up sore in the morning. But also, Tom, I know you and you like to gamble. I like to gamble, especially when it comes to football season. So everyone, go to BetUS.com because life is back on, sports bettors. And BetUS has your UFC, PGA, PGA, college football, and yes, NFL betting lines up for their 27th year. And live, I'm losing my voice, and live betting on all of it. Log on to BetUS.com or call 1-800-792-3887. That's 1-800-79-BETUS. And if you use the promo code Dolphins Talk, you get 125% sign-on bonus. So if you use the promo code Dolphins Talk, you're putting $100, I'll make it 125. You got more money to gamble, more money to play with just for signing up with the promo code. But wait, Tom, there's more. If you want to pay with crypto and you use the promo code Dolphins Talk 200, it's a 200% sign-on bonus. They'll turn your $100 into $200 if you pay with crypto. And for the crypto, you have to use the promo code DolphinsTalk200. So BetUS, our customer service pros, and are ready to get your phone, social, and online sports betting kicked off, started right now. Play with the proven mainstay in the industry, BetUS. You will win. You will get paid. BetUS.com for all of your sports gambling this year. If you're high on the Dolphins, you think they're going to win a bunch of games this year, go to BetUS, bet the over. They're 9.5. If you think they're going to win 10 games or more, put all your money down on the Miami Dolphins over, and you'll make money at BetUS. Just make sure you use the promo code DolphinsTalk at that 125% sign-on bonus.
I love football season.
I love sports gambling. I can't wait.
I love all of it.
I can't wait. Well, now, here's what I don't like. New York State not doing online gambling until the Super Bowl because I wanted to see how it goes for the Super Bowl. But that ain't going to stop me and Tom because this year the gambling corner will be visual like this, YouTube only, and we're going to do a show each week that you will not want to miss with the gambling corner to give you all the hot picks for you degenerate gamblers out there like Tom and myself.
Degenerate gambling.
And we're going to have some fun on that show.
Seek help if you have a gambling problem.
Right. Yes.
We're going to make sure we remind people.
With Bud Light, drink responsibly. And with the gambling,
if you love those bottles.
You love those bottles? I'll save you one.
You're a good guy.
I will. And with anything with gambling, yes, gamble responsibly as well.
Absolutely. All right, let's get back into the game. The Dolphins opened the second half with the football, and Tua took off his shoulder pads, so the team has seen enough. Jacoby Brissett comes in and marches the Dolphins 10 plays, 65 yards. It took 6 minutes again, just over 6 minutes, and it was a Malcolm Brown one-yard run. And on this drive in particular, Kirk Merritt made a huge play, 27-yard reception from Jacoby Brissett, and then it was the Malcolm Brown show. From there, goes for 11 yards to the 2 yard line, and then took two plays, punched it into the end zone. It was good to see Malcolm Brown get going, but seeing Kirk Merritt make that play, you know, like we talked about, and we're going to keep talking about as we finish up the show, it is going to be tough for the Miami Dolphins to cut some of these guys. Kirk Merritt's definitely making his case known as well, because he's had a very strong camp and he looked good tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough hill for him to climb, though. He's probably going to be in a practice squad unless someone else swoops in and takes him. It is what it is. But overall, Jacoby Brissett, we should talk a little bit about here, because I think Brissett, as a number two, he gives you everything you want. First off, he's a veteran. He has seen everything. Number two, he's got a little bit of size. And when he throws the ball, he's got some oomph behind it as well. Brissett's a guy, if God forbid something happened, you know, even for, I mean, for a short time frame, if it's for like multiple weeks, I'd be very nervous. But for a short time, if he had to come in for like a week or two maybe, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world. I like him a lot. And what he did last week versus the Bears and this week versus Atlanta, I have a lot of faith in him as the number two quarterback.
Yeah, you know, he's a proven guy.
Don't want to see him play, but I have faith in him if he has to.
He's come into, you know, he came into a spot in New England where, you know, Tom Brady was suspended the first four games for deflating his balls, and Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, so he had to come in and play spot duty. He played okay, and he carried the Colts the year that Andrew Luck retired. Didn't carry him very well, but that team fell apart as soon as
he was thrown into a tough spot, and he was okay.
He's a vet. He knows what he's doing. I'm happy that he's here. I'm happy the Dolphins decided to bring him in. You know, and he showcased a little bit to me. He shows why you can rely on a guy like that to be able to, you know, have a situation if the quarterback goes down with an injury, that you can trust him, that you can bring him in and he can help the team hopefully win football games. And that's what you ask for out of a backup quarterback. You ask a guy just to keep the team afloat until the other guy can get back in there.
Just don't lose it.
And just don't lose it. And Brissett's a guy that can do that. And then after the Dolphins touchdown, it became the Sam Agüevan show. My gosh, it became the Sam Agüevan show. So the very next drive, it was a three-play negative 12-yard drive for the Falcons. On first and 10, it was a one-yard gain. Agüevan with the tackle. Second down, Agüevan sacks Felipe Franks for minus 4 yards. And then on third and 13 from the 9, Agüevan comes in on a late pressure and gets the safety. So it was an incredible drive on defense for Sam Agüevan, and the Dolphins up to 23-3. Agüevan is making his case to crack this linebacking unit, maybe not as a starter, but he looked very good tonight when it comes to potential depth for the team.
He put his name back on the radar because he's someone that often gets overlooked, often gets forgotten about. You got guys like Riley Scarlett in that, you know, sort of number two linebacker group. You got Elandon Roberts now off the PUP list. That's going to be another spot, which we'll talk about after the game here, who they're going to keep a linebacker. They got a lot of guys behind the starters. And here's another thing we should probably talk about, because I know we're in the second half of a preseason game here. Jalen Phillips, what's going on there? The first third and long of the game. Opening series of the game, third and long. They take him off the field. Like, that's interesting. I mean, maybe nothing to read into. It's just interesting because you brought this guy in here to be, you know, a pass rusher. His strength is being a pass rusher. It's third and nine, first opening part of the game, and you take him off the field? A little interesting. And then for the second half of the game, he was on and off the field a lot. They really used him in sub packages only of certain things. I know he's been, you know, hurt on and off through camp, so that might be a big part of it. But through next week,
that's a big part of it.
I do too. It's going to be interesting, A, if he plays for Cincinnati, and B, if he does, how he's used. And it's going to be more interesting come week one when they play New England, how he's used there, because 18th pick of round one, right? I think it went number 18. There's high expectations for him. And I was just – he's on the field for the opening drive on third long. You take him off. It's just that one just made me scratch my head a little. Nothing to hit the panic button over. Just interesting to see how he's used here when we get to the regular season in the first part.
Yeah, I think they're just easing him back into it. You know, he's got a history of concussions and things like that, so they definitely want to be cautious with him. I think tonight was just, you know, getting him into game action. This was his first time in a game in the NFL. So I think they're going to work him in slowly. I think we see a little bit more of him next week when most likely the Dolphins are going to be resting their starters. I would be stunned to see Tua in uniform.
I agree. And I'm afraid of that game next week. Not afraid. I'm a little bit – Cincinnati – when they came down to Hard Rock last year, that game was, you know, it got ugly in a second. There was fights, brawls. There is bad blood between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Miami Dolphins. If they don't play Tua, I'd be fine with that. If they do play him, don't play him for more than like one or two series. And because here's the thing with Tua, you cannot play him behind anything but the first string offensive line. So if you're going to, like, rest maybe like an Austin Jackson, or if you're going to rest someone like a Jesse Davis, you really got to be careful if you're putting your starting quarterback out there.
Yes. Yeah, no craziness. You know, we're only a few weeks away from the beginning of the NFL season and a trip to New England, and we need everybody healthy, especially the starters. You know, give the guys a chance at the bottom of the roster, trying to make a, you know, try to get a spot, try to find their way on another NFL roster or even onto the practice squad.
Practice squad, yeah.
You know, you have to – those guys need more time. We've seen enough from Tua. We've seen enough from some of these defensive starters. We need to see what the back end of this roster can do, because they need to find the backups. They need to find the depth players, the role players, and obviously the practice squad guys. And the same rules apply with the practice squad as it did last year. You can protect up to, I believe, 4 players a week on your practice squad, and you can have 16 guys on there. So you want to find guys that you've had in camp that you could put on that practice squad. So for the love of God, do not play your starters next week. Let those guys rest up. Let them practice, but let them rest up, because the games matter in roughly 3 weeks from now. And that's what's important.
And what was interesting there too was Xavier Howard and Byron Jones played one quarter. At the start of the second quarter, they were done for the night. We don't need to see them either next week. We all know what those guys can do. So they got a little bit of work, but the key word is little, because that's all they need. Here's something else, Tom, as we – punt return tonight. Obviously, we didn't see Waddle return a punt. He was more of a heavy focus on the offense. Malcolm Perry got a lot of work as a punt returner. Yeah. I'm wondering if they wanted to try him out there to be like, let's give him a chance to showcase what he can do.
Yeah.
To maybe, because time to move on from Grant, and let's see, you know, if we can get something for, because you might be able to get something for Grant. It ain't gonna be nothing good. You might be able to get something. Right. And if Perry can return punts with Waddle and have a little rotation there, it's like, okay, we got something there that we can trust.
Yeah.
And if, because they can't keep all these receivers, and someone like Grant, who really doesn't have value as a receiver, maybe a team gives you a 6th or 7th for him. Who knows? Maybe you get something. So it'll be interesting that Malcolm Perry got a lot of work tonight as a punt returner.
He did. I'm happy to see that, though. I think that.
Why not? I know. Grant can return punts. I don't need to see it anymore.
Yeah, no. We need to see what Malcolm Perry can do offensively. You know, he is a gadget kind of guy. You know, he played quarterback. He played running back. He played a little wide receiver. And I think they want to get a role for him. The issue that is going to happen is it's a numbers game, right? So Malcolm Perry was was a late round pick for the team last year. Why did they took him one pick before the Patriots? And we knew that the Patriots, based on all reports, really, really wanted Malcolm Perry. So if the Dolphins decide that they have to move on for Malcolm Perry because of a numbers game, he goes on waivers first. And there's no guarantee he's coming back. So they have to figure all this out, you know, and I think it's good to see that they're using Malcolm Perry in that role to try to give him an opportunity to supplant Jakeem Grant potentially as the team's punt returner, kick returner. Like you said, I don't know what kind of value is going to be there for Jakeem Grant if they decide they maybe
he's just a kick returner. I mean, you're getting a sixth or seventh. You're not getting no more for a kick returner.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, the Dolphins, after the safety, they get a touchdown. You know, 10-play 82-yard drive that took 5.5 minutes off the clock. Another well-done drive from Jacoby Brissett and an absolute dime to Robert Foster in the end zone for the touchdown. So, again, opportunities for another wide receiver like Robert Foster, who has some he's a fast wide receiver. He can blow the top off a defense. He's decent. I don't know if he's going to make the roster, but you know, he's definitely making a case, just like everybody else at the back end of this wide receiver room is making a case to be on this roster. So I was happy to see Robert Foster get in the end zone. I know he had a rough start to his career, bounced around a little bit from Buffalo to Washington. I can't remember where he was last year. But at the end of the day, it was a great drive, and the Dolphins went up. It was what, 30-3? I mean, this game was over. This game was over.
Washington last year and the Packers.
After a Falcons touchdown, 13-play, 75-yard drive, the Dolphins went 3-and-out. Then on the very next play, interception from Kelvin Munson, which brought the Dolphins down to the 6-yard line, and the Dolphins wrapped up the game with a Reed Sinnott touchdown pass to Kirk Merritt, another guy that has potential. So the game wrapped up. The Falcons scored a meaningless late touchdown on a 30-yard run, and the Dolphins win the game 37-17. Let's go through the team stats real quick, because this is usually Mike and I, we really like to see the tail of the tape, so to speak, at the end of the game and how the team really did. The Dolphins had 28 first downs to the Falcons, 16. The Dolphins ran 68 total plays to the Falcons, 50. 422 yards of total offense for the Dolphins to 253 for the Falcons. The Dolphins had 9 drives in this game. Falcons with 8. Dolphins averaged 6.2 yards a play versus the 5.1 for Atlanta. Passing wise,
this is big.
This is a huge number. The Dolphins was as a team, 26 of 33 for 286 yards. Only one sack in the game. That was the Malcolm Brown whiff on the block, and they averaged 8.4 yards per attempt. The Falcons 66 total.
We know there's no Matt Ryan, so that's a big part of it.
There's no Matt Ryan, but A.J. McCarron also went down. They went to a very conservative style because Felipe Franks was the only other quarterback that was dressed.
But still, so, that's a very lopsided stat.
Very lopsided. Where it's a – I don't know if it's alarming right now, but they gave up 187 yards on the ground.
Well, if you're only going to pass for 66 – I hope you ran the ball a lot. So I can't get nervous about that. It's like when teams who give up like 8 yards per rush, they go, but we're number one in the league in pass defense. Yeah, because nobody's passing the ball on it because they're getting 8 yards on the ground. Why would they throw a pass? Of course you're number one. You give up no yards in the air. So it's one of those things. If you're going to run for 187, of course you're not going to pass for much. But here's the big one, Tom. Penalties.
Two for the Dolphins.
That's all that matters. Two.
Two.
One was Austin Jackson for holding. I can't. Yep. And one was pass interference, I think, on Sam Agüevan, which led to the one Falcons touchdown early, if I remember correctly.
Yep. And the Dolphins were 5 for 6 in the red zone.
Perfect.
and time of possession to finish it off, 36 minutes and 42 seconds for the Dolphins to 23 minutes and 18 seconds for the Falcons. Just a very good overall performance again for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, you really can't complain about anything with this game. Like we said at the top, the only thing to nitpick about, which maybe even not really a nitpick, it is something that's a little bit of a worry, is the running backs have to do a better job pass blocking. That, because in a real game, you will get your starting quarterback killed, and that's not good. So that's got to be cleaned up. Other than that, there's really nothing to sort of nitpick about, complain about. This was a picture-perfect preseason game, even from the guys who aren't the starters in the second string. Now, Tom, we got to go through who gets – first, we got to do the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yep.
You want to start with the good?
Yeah, the good for me tonight was Sam Agüevan.
Yep.
What a night.
Obvious.
11 total tackles, 4 sacks. Just a very good showing from Sam Agüevan.
I'm going to go Tua because I thought this week he played better than he actually did last week versus the Bears. Again, I know it's preseason, but I just he looks so much more confident, so much better than he did last year. It's really is eye-opening. So Tua is the good. Now the bad, I got question marks because I don't know if there's anything really bad in this game. What's your bad?
The bad was I think the scares with Jalen Waddle and Malcolm Perry both taking some shots that, you know, with the Waddle one, I held my breath. I thought it was something serious.
And I have a feeling it's just one of those things. I think it will be true with him. We're going to go through that a lot in his time in Miami, where he's on the ground rolling around in pain. And he does pop up and sort of, you know, like kind of shake it off. He's just one of those guys. One, he's tough as nails. And two, he's just a guy who he's not big. And when he might get, I mean, tonight was just kind of like a freak thing. I get it. But, you know, he is just one of those guys who's going to be shaken up a lot, I have a feeling. So I think as fans of the offense, you better get kind of used to this because he was in college. And now it's just one of those things. But he will play through it. Like I said, he is tough. One tough cookie. The ugly, I'll just say the pass blocking for the running game. That was the ugly part of this game because there's really not much to say bad or ugly.
Well, I will, you know, I'm actually going to move away from Miami on the ugly and say the Falcons quarterback room behind
that was ugly. Yeah.
It's not good.
No. Atlanta, here's the thing with Atlanta. When they got Ryan, when they got Pitts, when they got Ridley, that offense, I think, has a chance to be really, really good in that. I believe they signed the running back from the Panthers, Mike Davis.
Yep.
So I think that offense has a chance to be really good.
Oh,
the other side of the ball, they got nothing. They got nothing on defense. Even when they play everybody.
We see this team October 24th.
Yes, and that is an announcement that we will make. Tom and myself will be down in South Florida for the Atlanta Falcons versus Miami Dolphins, October 24th. That is the game Tom and myself are going to, as long as COVID doesn't really – I mean, I know it's bad. As long as it doesn't get back to like 2020 levels, I guess we should say, we'll be down there as long as it doesn't, you know, it stays somewhat in check.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I don't want to die. I'm not dying for this team. I love this team. I'm dying for them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. No, we're looking forward to it. We're already – kind of planning out some things. Hopefully, again, as long as everything is good, you know, we will be there. We'll have a night out. Obviously, if anyone wants to come hang out, have a drink, we'll be there. We'll be there. We'll have some fun.
We'll have some fun.
And talk some Dolphins football with whoever wants to talk Dolphins
exactly.
football. That's what we like to do.
Exactly. We'll be out and about, and we'll be tweeting where we are if people want to do like a meet and greet or have a drink with us and all that stuff. And if you do drink, Tom. Bud Light. Limited edition, August 23rd.
I hope they still have those by the time we get down there. Because
I don't know.
I am going to figure out a way to get some of it home.
Well, I'm going to save you a bottle. Don't worry.
I like to drink them, though. I need more.
Okay. True. So let's go through real quick here as we wrap up the show. Let's do your 53-man roster prediction. So I'll go through position by position. I'm going to save wide receiver and linebacker to the end because those are the tough ones. One's a little more tricky. And I'm just going to go through each spot real quick, and I'll keep count. Let's start quarterback. How many are they keeping? Two?
They're keeping two.
We know who they are. Running back.
And Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, that's it. Running back. You got Miles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, Salvin Ahmed, Doakes, Jordan, Scarlett, and Laird.
Gaskin, I think Ahmed has done enough to be on this team, and Malcolm Brown for sure. I think once you get past that, that's where it's going to get a little bit more interesting.
So let's do three for now, because let's see where we are when we're done. We might go back there and add one, but let's do three for now.
Okay.
Tight ends. You got Mike Gesicki. Hunter Long, who actually played tonight. He's someone else who's really tough as nails.
Yep.
Mike Gesicki, Hunter Long, Adam Shaheen, Smythe, Seathan Carter, and Carl Tucker.
They're keeping four.
So they're keeping four tight end. So I'm guessing you're keeping Mike Gesicki, Adam Shaheen, Long, and Smythe?
Yep.
So Seathan Carter's gone?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just want to make sure you got the same numbers. Offensive line. All right, let's go. Austin Jackson, Greg Little. Are they making it?
Yes.
Yes. Liam Eichenberg's three, Solomon Kinley's four.
Yep.
Michael Dieter, five. Matt Skira, six.
Yep.
Hunt and Jesse Davis.
Yep.
That's eight. Now, after that, are we going to keep anybody out of Adam Pankey, who was not active tonight and stinks? Larnell Coleman.
I think he's got a shot to get back on the practice squad.
Robert Jones, practice squad.
Yeah, there's potential there.
Here's one that's interesting. Jeremine, I can't say his last name, Ilamoran, whatever it is, he's close.
Jermaine Elamadour.
Yeah, him.
Yeah. I think they liked him.
He's going to be the bubble guy.
I think he's a bubble guy. Yeah.
Cameron Tom, probably going to be practice squad. And the kid from Brazil. So eight is what we got for you. Nine would be a possible one. Let's see where we are when we're done. Same thing at running back. We might add one more. Let's see where we are. Yeah. Okay, let's go to defense. Hold on. On the line, let's just go. And by line, I'm going front seven, so we save time here. Christian Wilkins is in. Yes.
Yep.
Zach Sealer in. Yep.
Yep.
Raekwon's in. Yep.
Yep.
Agba, Adam Butler in.
Yep.
That's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I lost count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. John Jenkins. Yes, he's making it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think he should make it just based on
six. How about Strobridge, Jones, Ledbetter?
Strobridge, yes. Jones, possible practice squad, Ledbetter.
So you got Strobridge. Let's go seven.
Ledbetter's not going to make this team.
Okay. Strobridge online. Okay. I have to split them up because there's too many people here. Linebacker. Linebacker. Cornerback. Jones and Howard are yes. Igbunagani, Nick Needham are yes. There's four.
Coleman.
Coleman's five. Trill Williams?
I think he's got a good chance to make it.
I think he does too, actually. Let's say six. Tino Ellis?
No.
No. So we got six. Tramal Perry or Cravon LeBlanc?
Perry, I think it's there. LeBlanc is close.
Okay, so you got seven, possible one. Safety. Rowe, McCourty, Holland are all yes.
Yep.
Jones is a yes at four. Clayton Fedulum.
Yes.
Or Nate Holly. Yes for Fedulum.
Fedulum. Yeah.
That's five. All right. So now we got to go wide receiver and linebacker. Let's see. 5, 9. 17, 24, 29, and 36 right now. Okay. Wide receiver and linebacker. Here we go. Let's go wide receiver. Will Fuller, Parker, Wilson, Waddle. 1, 2, 3, Waddle. Matt Collins is five.
Yep.
Preston Williams is going to be six.
Yep.
Okay, you got six. Lynn Bowden. Yeah, that's tough.
This is really good. This is where it gets tough.
Okay, hold on. We got six in stone. We got six in stone.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get rid of some of these guys. Ford's out.
Yes.
Kyle Loxley's out. McClain's out. So Kirk Merritt ain't making this team. Maybe practice squad. He ain't making this team. I'm putting him out. So that leaves you. We got six right now with Robert Foster, Jakeem Grant, Lynn Bowden, Malcolm Perry. You probably got to pick one or two. I know it's tough.
Yeah, I'm keeping Lynn Bowden. You trade for him. So I don't know if you're going to give up on that right away. I think he's got a lot to offer.
I think they're keeping Malcolm Perry after this game too.
Yeah, I think Malcolm Perry has a shot.
Robert
Foster is going to be close with Malcolm Perry. I think Foster having more natural wide receiver experience gives him an edge.
Okay. So 36 and 8 gives you 44. Now we got to talk about our 44 plus the punter and kicker. So Sanders and Paladay gets you 46. You're 46 heading into linebackers. That means you can keep seven linebackers. Okay, here we go. Jerome Baker, yes. McKinney, yes. My boy, Andrew Van Ginkle, yes, there's three. So you got three. Now you're 49. Okay, now you got four spots, and here are the names. Riley, Aguavon, Vince Beagle, Munson, Shaquem Griffin, Elandon Roberts, and I won't even mention the guys like Josh Harvey Clemens or Kyle Johnson, Chaelin Phillips. Oh, man. So you got to count. Phillips is a lock. Vince Beagle's a lock.
Yep.
So that means 49, you're 51. That means you got two spots for Shaquem Griffin. Munson, he's out. You got two spots for Shaquem Griffin, Scarlett, Aguavon, and Riley, right? Sounds like we kind of Riley.
Yeah, Andrew Riley.
They're going to keep Scarlett. That gives you 52. Yeah, it comes down to Shaquem Griffin or Sam Aguavon. Now, look, I know tonight's probably the wrong night. Everyone loves Sam Aguavon tonight. I don't know. It's probably a coin toss, honestly, if you keep Sam Aguavon or Shaquem Griffin or Riley. They did sign Riley from another team because I didn't count Riley, did I? No, I didn't count him the first time.
Yeah.
So I don't think they – I know he had the game of his life tonight, but I don't think they keep Sam Aguavon. I think it comes down to Shaquem Griffin and Riley for the last spot. But that's just – those are the spots, linebacker, wide receiver, where they keep guys. And we'll see what they do. But that's tough, Tom, once you get down to it. Because some of those guys can play.
They got some real tough decisions to get through.
So if they do that, that means you're not going back and you're not going to keep Cravon LeBlanc. That means you're not going to keep Jared Doakes. He probably won't practice squad. Offensive line, someone like the one guy whose name we can't say, he ain't going to make this team. that is tough trying to cut that down to 53. But wide receiver and linebacker, that's where they're going to have the tough decisions. And we'll see, because I think everyone's off pup. Everyone's healthy. No one seems to be hurt to a point where they're not going to be out for the rest of the year. But, that's going to be interesting to say the least.
Yeah. We'll find out.
Oh, you're breaking up terrible again.
There's more cuts coming this week. I mean, there's going to be a few cuts coming up this week.
Oh, we forgot the long snapper.
We'll see. So I don't know what the number is. I know the number.
We forgot the long snapper, Tom. The long snapper takes the final spot. We forgot all about our long snapper.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. So
there we go. So, all right. So, Tom, you're really starting to break up. I'm going to wrap up the show here. Number one, our military contest goes to August 31st, 10 more days. And I made an announcement with Ian on Wednesday that we are going to not send just one veteran or active military member to a game this year. We're going to send two. Well, I have another announcement. Now we're sending three, because there is a veteran who is a season ticket holder who has been gracious enough to part with tickets to two home games this year for us to send two more winners. So we're not just sending one winner to games this year. We're sending three. So the first week of September, we will make the announcement to the three winners. If you are an active military member or if you are a retired military member and you are a fan of the Dolphins and want to go to any Miami Dolphins home game, you pick the home game. Email me at dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. Once again, dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. All you need to tell me is what home game you want to go to. You have to tell me when and where you served, and you know, one or two sentences is why you should win. And we will pick the winners that first week of September, and three people with a friend. So, you know, we'll go to a home game. Now, you have to travel down to Miami yourself, and you have to be there. But we will – that's why I want you to tell me which home game you want to go to, because we're not flying you. But we'll give you two tickets, a parking pass, and some food money. And so three winners, Tom. That's going to be exciting to announce here in the coming weeks. Also, for those of you watching on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube button and smash that like button. Subscribe and smash, because here's what's going on in the YouTube land. We have a new show starting, I believe, tomorrow on Sunday with Bobby Melendez and a co-host of his who is new to our website, Fins Talk. Today will be an exclusive show only on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Tom and myself, probably next week or the week after, we'll start the Gambling Corner show, which will be YouTube exclusive, YouTube only. Only way to watch it will be on our Dolphins Talk YouTube page, where we give you the hot picks each and every week. And also, there's a show with Josh Katzker coming this season, and a special guest. I can't announce it yet, because we want to surprise people. We want to surprise people like the man Becky Lynch surprised everyone tonight at SummerSlam. We want to surprise people on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel with that YouTube-only show. So we're going to have three new shows that will be YouTube-only coming this year to DolphinsTalk.com. So go to that YouTube page, subscribe, and smash that like button, Tom.
Absolutely. Please do that. Thank you all for tuning in. And the Dolphins, again, with a nice preseason win, 37-17 over the Atlanta Falcons. That will do it for the post-game wrap-up show. Be sure to go to DolphinsTalk.com each and every day for all the latest Miami Dolphins news and information. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalkTom. Follow Mike on the main account at DolphinsTalk. And be sure to check out all the great writers and podcasters that we have on our network. Mike, anything else to add before we wrap it up?
Everyone have a great week. We will be back next week for the final preseason game. That's Sunday at 4, right? If I remember correctly, Sunday at 4. We'll have a post-game show after that. Yep, against the Bengals. So the regular season's almost here, Tom. I can feel it.
Oh, I can't wait. It's so nice to know.
It's so much fun when your team's good, too.
Yep. It's going to be great to get to the regular season. But anyway, everyone have a great night. Fins up. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.